from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulveda. We're going to spend most of the show focused on the issue of realignment. Tomorrow marks 5 years since the U.S. Supreme Court ordered the state to reduce prison overcrowding. And as you've heard before, realignment is the policy name of the plan to reduce the state's prison population. To make it happen, California has shifted responsibility for low-level felons from state prison to county jails. Now, for these county facilities, which are built to hold people for a couple of months, the shift means they now hold some people for years, including people struggling with mental illness. In other words, it's not a long-term solution. Some criminal justice experts believe there is a political window to solve this problem. And so that got us wondering, on this fifth anniversary of realignment, what works and what doesn't? We sent KQED's Alex Emsley and Julie Small to report on two communities that are taking very different approaches to these challenges.
So I checked out Sonoma County. They have about 1,000 inmates in the jails. In recent years, more of them have psychiatric issues.
The same thing's happening in San Francisco. But Julie, let's start with Sonoma.
Okay. Well, for example, when the sheriff opened the main jail in 1991, they had about 12 inmates with mental illness. Today, they have over 400 people requiring psychiatric care. Here's Lieutenant Mike Toby, who gave me a tour of the main jail this year, talking about the three units they've designated just for inmates with mental illness.
If they need mental health housing, we have a variety of units that they can go to. We have our mental health unit, which we'll walk to, which is generally for our most acute cases. And then we have sort of two step-down units from there.
But Toby says they need more room. So when the state started offering grants to help jails deal with the influx of inmates under realignment, Sonoma County applied and got a $40 million grant to build a new behavioral health unit at the jail.
San Francisco won some of that same state grant money, $80 million. They were going to build something similar. But then the city gave that money back and scrapped its jail plan amid strong opposition.
The Budget and Finance Committee is in a recess.
Lizzie Buchan with the group Californians United for a Responsible Budget was part of that fight. She says conditions in the jails are terrible, but the state is pushing a short-sighted solution to a bigger problem.
But at the end of the day, where they're putting their money is all in jails. And then when it comes down to it, they say they don't have any money left for mental health treatment in the communities.
Okay, but San Francisco's the only California county to turn that money down for political reasons.
Yeah, and there's other counties that relinquish grants because they couldn't afford matching funds or to pay for the extra staff.
I asked Brandon Martin about this. He's a research analyst with the Public Policy Institute of California. Martin says 40 counties have built or plan to build new jail facilities or renovate old ones using more than $2 billion in state funds.
So you have projects like in Alameda, where they're refurbishing a wing of one of the facilities into a mental health space. Ventura is building a new building that would be mental health specific. So is Butte County. Sonoma's doing the same thing. Humboldt's doing the same thing.
In Sonoma County, Assistant Sheriff Randall Walker says the new behavioral health unit will replace older cells and improve conditions.
You can't do the proper programming because you can't get people out.
Out of their cells, you mean?
Out of their cells. And that's what the new facility is going to give us. It's going to be the perfect space to do programming, socialization, all the things that are important to treatment.
Jails just are not treatment facilities.
That's Kathleen Lacey, a licensed clinical social worker who specializes in patients with severe mental illness and violent criminal histories.
So no matter how nice you make it, it's still run by the sheriff's department, not by mental health professionals.
Lacey's pushing an alternative in San Francisco, a multi-level facility that's not a jail, but a place where the city can release inmates with behavioral health issues into treatment. She says her client's symptoms get worse in jail. Take David Hamilton, who bounced between homelessness, prison, and jail in California for decades.
Every time I go in, it takes me like a long, long time to get out, because I start going to these mental trips.
Hamilton's been diagnosed with PTSD, severe depression, and borderline personality disorder. Community-based treatment is what finally worked for him. He's got a dedicated caseworker and a clinic where he's always welcome. Having his own home helps keep him stable.
I mean, you have your own bathroom, your own shower, your own little space. When I wake up in the morning, the first thing I like is to hear the music of the birds, Because you don't hear that in prison. Oh, I love the birds.
San Francisco still has to decide what it will do to replace one of its aging jails. And that could still mean a new detention facility or something like that community treatment center I told you about earlier.
In Sonoma, they're holding meetings with mental health advocates about their new psychiatric facility at the jail. They hope to open the behavioral health unit within 3 years. For the California Report, I'm Julie Small.
And I'm Alex Hemsley.
KQED data reporter Lisa Pickoff-White contributed to that story. Yesterday, we reported on how some officials view realignment as a success. You can find that by going to thecaliforniareport.org. Governor Jerry Brown has approved changes to California's election system. He approved a new law that allows counties to replace neighborhood polling places with voting centers that open 10 days ahead of Election Day. It's based on a Colorado law that has helped boost turnout. As for other bills, Governor Brown has until midnight tonight to decide what to do with them. With that deadline looming, Brown has also signed a bill setting aside $250 million for cost overruns if California gets the Olympic Games in 2024. Those games would be held in Los Angeles. KQED politics and government reporter Marisa Lagos says while money for the Olympics has been approved, subsidies for poor parents buying diapers was not.
Yeah, I mean, this was like the third bill kind of like this. There was a couple others. One was a tampon tax, another was a tax on diapers. The governor vetoed those. And it's really part of a broader package of, I'd say, more than a dozen bills that Jerry Brown basically said, that's fine, but we need to deal with this in the normal budget process. Don't do an end run. Take this to me next year if you really want to talk about it. And so, you know, I do think it raises questions, as we've mentioned, when you're, you know, signing bills for $250 million for an Olympics that doesn't exist yet.
So clearly on that, he was more upset with the process than perhaps the policy, or at least that's what he was saying. What was his reasoning for vetoing a smoking ban on state parks and beaches?
I'm quoting here, the complete prohibition in all parks and beaches is too broad. You know, I think there's a little bit of a libertarian streak in Jerry Brown, and you see that in these sorts of vetoes. But you can't always tell where Jerry Brown's going to come from. For example, he signed one bill that's going to let thousands of felons vote in California jails, so expanding voting rights for criminals. But he vetoed another that would have barred counties from essentially saying we're only offering video conferencing as a way to visit inmates. He said it would have cost too much. So again, that's sort of monetary undertone, but it's interesting you're kind of giving rights in one case and almost taking them away in another.
Perhaps most importantly for some of our listeners, it is now completely legal to sip on beer or have a bit of wine while you're at the hair salon, which, as you can tell from my bald head, I go all the time. What is the reasoning behind allowing this change to state law?
Well, as somebody who enjoyed a frosty IPA at my last hair appointment, I'm totally behind this one. I mean, the idea is that this is happening anyway. A lot of salons and other types of places where you go to treat yourself, so to speak, are giving their clients this little perk anyway, and they could be running afoul of the law if they don't have an ABC license. And so the author just wanted to give them the ability to let clients have that without necessarily having to jump through the ABC hoops.
So finally, I look at all these laws Governor Jerry Brown signed and did not sign, and I'm trying to figure out what's his governing philosophy.
Spend as little money as possible. Don't overcrowd the state prisons. And don't try to guess what his governing philosophy is, because you'll be wrong.
Marisa Lagos from KQED's Politics and Government Desk, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.
We're going to go now to Humboldt County, where a few days ago, 84-year-old Robert Massino called his wife, Deanne. She picks up the story from here.
He says, I'm in San Jose. I said, what are you doing in San Jose? And he says, oh, we've just been playing cards and things like that. So then I got over to the care home like an hour later, and he had no recollection of any of that.
Robert Massino has Alzheimer's. His wife of 33 years can't take care of him, and now neither will the nearby nursing home. That's because this week the State Department of Public Health approved a plan that would close that home and two others in rural Humboldt County. All the homes are owned by a subsidiary of Breas Healthcare, the largest nursing home provider in the state. Management there says the homes are short-staffed and losing money. Now Deanne Massino, like the relatives of about 150 other elderly nursing home residents in this rural community, has to find a new home for her loved one, and it likely won't be in the same county.
I have no idea in the world what I will do with my husband. I just know that I can't keep him at home. The disease affected him in a way that he lost his ability to walk. He doesn't know where he is at night.
The idea that you've built this life with this man, and there's a chance that he might pass and you're not there.
That's true. That's very true. I can't imagine it. I just can't imagine it, John. I just can't even imagine not being with my husband every single day.
If you had a chance to speak to the owner of these nursing homes, what would you tell them?
I'm afraid of what I would tell him. I mean, he knows what's going on, but obviously he's a billionaire and all, and I realize that it's a business, and businesses are in what they do to make money. I know that. But this goes beyond that. To me, it is greed.
Mrs. Messino, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome, John. Thank you for the call.
The subsidiary company of Breas Healthcare, Rockport Healthcare Services, has issued a statement. They say, quote, "We will now work with the department to create a transfer plan that ensures a seamless transition for our patients." The state tells the California Report that patients will begin moving in November and that the state has no authority to stop the closures. We end today in Santa Barbara to welcome our new listeners from public radio station KDRW in Santa Barbara. And we're going to use this as an excuse to play Did You Know, Santa Barbara edition. Okay, so did you know it was a Santa Barbara resident who first introduced Mexican avocados to the U.S. back in 1871? Did you know that the first Earth Day was celebrated in the city after a big oil spill in 1969? Did you know that pop star Katy Perry was born and raised in Santa Barbara? Here she is right here. There are a ton of other facts about Santa Barbara. You can read them by going to my Twitter feed. I'm at JohnLGC. That's the California Report for Friday, September 30th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, with additional engineering from Howard Gelman, Jim Bennett, and Seal Muller. I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great weekend. This is the California Report.